email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Mellie Murphy is one of Ireland's best-known lifestyle bloggers. Her YouTube videos have received 68 million views, with her fans appreciating her honest content on relationships, sexuality, confidence and mental health. Melanie is also an author, with three books on the market. The first, a life guide and memoir. The second, a novel called If Only. And continuing to forge her path in the literary world, she just released her latest book, that'll be book three, Glass Houses, which is available everywhere now. And Melanie Murphy joins me in studio. Good afternoon, Melanie.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks.
Glass Houses. We've loads of things to talk about. So you were on the TV show back in 2015, which is nearly 7 years ago.
Yeah, and I was fangirling. I took a selfie with you and I sent it to my family. I was like, look where I am.
But at that point, you were sort of on because you were making half a living out of YouTubing.
Yes. So it had become my full-time job at the time, but it wasn't really making me as much money as it kind of went on to, like, it became a proper career, I suppose.
Yes.
At the time, I was still very much expecting it to all fall apart in front of me every month to month. I couldn't believe it was still going. I started it while I was doing my degree in education in DCU, and it just kind of became a job very quickly.
A lot of our listeners, I say, they know that the phrase YouTuber, but they don't quite understand what you do.
It's a loaded term though, isn't it? I feel like YouTuber has become a slur because, you know, there's all the stories of the when a YouTuber does an awful thing, that tends to make the mainstream news, like Logan Paul going into the forest, that kind of thing. But it's basically, I'm a one-man band and I run a channel myself and I film videos that I come up with the ideas, I edit them. A lot of people do hire help, but I'm just a bit of a control freak, so I like to do everything myself. And yeah, it's...
And you just talk about yourself and your life.
Yeah, it can sound very narcissistic.
But it's
it can, and you know, through my life, I suppose, I've aged so much online. So I started it in my early 20s and now I'm 32. I have a child. I've just recently bought my first house, which, you know, was a long journey. And so the types of things I talk about definitely change. But yeah, it is very much...
Can you explain it then, the appeal? You've been doing it for years. And you obviously must have thought about this.
Yeah,
what's the appeal?
I think it's similar to podcasts and radio, really. Like, you're listening to people's stories and you're wanting to connect with other people and have friendly voices in the background. Like, you know, if people listen to you, they feel, when they have you on, it's like a comfort thing. And they'd feel at home when they can hear your voice in the background. That's what people tell me anyway. I've multiple times asked, why do you watch me? What am I doing here? Because when I started, I didn't expect it to become this. I didn't realise, you know, I didn't even know you could turn the monetization on, which is what it's called, where YouTube will run ads on your videos so you can make money by the views, and then it's your channel views across the month determines your paycheck from YouTube.
And you're making a living out of it.
Yeah. I've been, and I do other work as well as a result of the channel. So the channel is kind of, you know, the spark of everything else that I do.
And we're going to get to the book because there's themes from your life running through the book as well, albeit in a fictional world. But you are sort of a professional oversharer then.
I am. And I've always said that since I was younger, I've definitely been an oversharer. And with YouTube, I always found it extremely cathartic to talk about stuff on camera. And it's like, I'm not going to say it's like talk therapy at all, but, you know, because I've done my fair share of therapy as well. But when you open up on camera about something and then the type of people that content will attract, so say if I'm talking about quitting alcohol, the people that will come to that video are in the same boat as you, or they're, you know, they've got some, and when I have meetups with my followers, my online followers, we've so much in common. It's absolutely mad. Like, I know I would get on so well with them.
Isn't that the brilliant thing about what you do, is that people come to you because they've shared views?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different when you're on a national radio station because there's a myriad of people listening and not everybody shares the same views as you. And that's the reality
of
what we
do. Part of the job,
yeah. So did you give up alcohol?
I did. I quit about 3 years ago now, and I never thought I'd be sitting here saying that. Like, I just have always had quite unhealthy relationship, I suppose, with alcohol. Like, a lot of my unresolved childhood traumas and stuff would come out when I'd be drunk. And for years, I kind of had rules set on myself. Like, once I don't drink more than 2 drinks, I'll be fine, which was the case most of the time. But if I ever had one too many, you know, it would bring out a nasty side of me. And essentially, my husband and I, we weren't married yet, and we were going through some issues where a lot of my own problems we were in their heads when I'd be drinking. And it just kind of all exploded one night. And I said, like, enough is enough. And he, you know, he was just like, I could tell that I could ruin the best thing that ever happened to me by choosing.
As in him.
Yeah, by choosing drink over my relationship, over my multiple relationships and my social life, my work. Like, it was even making me be less productive.
But you weren't drinking a lot.
I would drink a lot when I would drink.
Oh, would you?
So, right, yeah, okay. And it would be a weekly thing, you know.
And would you call yourself an alcoholic?
No.
No.
No, no. And I think, you know, some people have labelled me that, but I've never, that term has never resonated with me because I've never been like the type of person to need a drink to get through the day ever. It's just more that
negative
patterns.
Drink. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in this country because it's so part of our culture and it's so expected of you. And when I gave up, it was the first 6 months were really hard, and after that was fine. But people constantly kind of, sure, one isn't going to do any harm. That is just so pervasive, and it's so difficult to...
We'll talk again about that because we're running out of time. We have to talk about the book.
Yes.
So Glass Houses, so it's Rosie and Jenna, and their sisters, and they're the main characters.
Yes, they
main
are.
Characters. And then there's Peter, who's a singer-songwriter, and they both have an interest in him. And then there's Peter's dad, who's a retired doctor, who feels that he owes something to a lot of his former patients. And that's where the Glass House comes in.
You've done your homework. This is great. I don't even have to tell you.
I
don't even have to tell you anything. I know. So, yeah. So David, a retired doctor, he brings this bunch of people all struggling with different mental health conditions together to fix up his old garden that he shared with his wife, who is now dead. And he shares a connection with her in his mind. He still shares a very strong connection with her, and he can communicate with her, and other people don't see it that way. It's a book very much about healing and reconnecting with other people and reconnecting with nature. And those are things that I think,
book you read about connection, what's his name?
Oh, Johan Harry.
Yes.
It's a book called Lost Connections, and it's fantastic. It's about anxiety and depression, two things that the majority of people will, you know, like meet those, I suppose, in their life, whether it's you or a family member. But he really goes into all of the causes of anxiety and depression, and a couple of them are not external. Like they're things that the types of things that medication will really help, like if those are issues for you. But a lot of the things he talks about are environmental and things that, you know, you can impact change on. You can,
so, and connection is one of them, isn't it?
Connection and, like, obviously through the pandemic we were all experiencing isolation from family and friends, and a lot of us, I think, did reconnect with nature because we were going outside more. We were getting so fed up of our phones. And I started the book before the pandemic hit. I was very inspired by The Secret Garden, which I loved as a child. And I thought, how could I write that, a version of that for adults? You know, like, how could I spice that up and have it appeal to older folk like me? But during the pandemic, I think because I was writing it through that and through pregnancy and everything, it all of that kind of shaped the book. And now when I look at the book and read the book, there's so much coming through in it.
And they say what you know, and your husband, Tom, is it?
No. Thomas. Yeah.
Thomas, sorry, not Tom, Thomas. he's a pilot, and Rosie in the book is a pilot.
She was a pilot and had to give up her job. And I think that came from during the pandemic. He didn't know if he'd get to fly anymore.
Right.
And I was seeing how that was killing him to the thought of this career he'd always dreamed of.
And did you spread out you bits of you between the two sisters, Rosie and Jenna?
I think so, yeah. I definitely took aspects of myself. I think it's very hard not to have some of yourself in your book, because a book doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes from all of your experiences, all of everything that's ever existed in your brain, everything you've ever seen, heard, it will all filter through. And I think with me, a lot of my followers will pick up on little things like, oh, I feel like this is very reminiscent of you in this way. And it's because they know me in so many ways that you don't know a lot of other authors.
It's interesting. We were talking to Mary O'Connor last week, and she's a sex therapist.
Oh, wow.
And she's been working for years now. She's retired. But she was saying that she didn't think a lot of women watch porn. And,
yes.
And I was going, I don't think you're right there.
Yeah.
And this is something that you write about, as in Rosie does it, and you've talked about it yourself.
Yes, I wrote about it in my first book. It's called Fully Functioning Human Almost. And I think it's something that there can't be no consequence to limitless free pornography, and it's constantly becoming more and more extreme, and young people are being educated by this as well. And yeah, I think the fact that women are it's not just men, women very much partake in this as well, and can become very reliant on it.
And did you have a problem? Did you think you had a...
I ended up just banning myself
from
it, entirely for 6 months, because I just felt that it was taken over a little bit, and I was burying my head in that, and I was using that as an escape, and I wanted to explore that through a character.
It's escape from your reality.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a distraction, and but then as soon as it's over, you're still faced with your problems are still there.
Yeah.
It's like with a lot of things that we kind of use to hide from stuff that's going on.
Yeah, with drugs or drink or whatever it is.
Yes.
Gambling, all those addictions. I suppose there is an addiction to porn. So your relationship with YouTube now. Because you have a child.
I do, yeah. It's now, changed a lot.
Has it? Yeah.
Go on. I think I've become more private, and I'm constantly trying to figure out what my boundaries are now and what I do and don't want to share. And because I don't share his name or his face online, a lot of people, when they were, following me when I was pregnant, I was very happy to share what it's like going through that. And all of anything to do with me, I'm happy enough to talk about. But with him, I know he can't consent to me sharing his identity. Like, I don't want him to grow up and be able to Google himself and find my 20s splashed across the internet.
He'll be able to Google you, and he'll know,
he'll know
all the things you spoke about.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose.
And how do you feel about that?
I think that's one of those things that, like, no one really knows how
it's going to pan out, do they?
Yeah, no, because this is all so new.
Yes,
like,
all
of my friends, I know people going back who have Facebook pages going back, God, how many years now? How long is that around? 12 years or something? Probably more.
Yes.
And, they've put so much of themselves on there. So it's not just an issue, I suppose, for content creators like me. It's just
how do you think it's going to pan out?
I think, I'm noticing a kind of trend now with a lot of celebrity children who are growing up to really resent their parents for oversharing their childhoods and posting very intimate details about their personalities and their first this and their first that. And I think for me, this is where I'm very much taking a step back at the minute and trying to think of ways I can shift my content. Like, I'm very attracted to the idea of doing video essays and stuff like that that are a little bit more, I have to put in the time into studying a subject
but they're not about you.
It's not necessarily about me and my family and my life.
Yeah.
But I don't mind sharing the odd thing about that. But that has been carrying me and my job for so many years. But now, I have my family, which I've always dreamed of, and I want to enjoy that in private.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy a lot more of it in private. And
interesting, because it's something we are all going through. The world's going through, and that this seismic change that we've been offered through technology, we don't know what consequences it's going to have.
Exactly.
We have to wait and see.
We still don't know how
anyway,
to
what
deal
we do
with
know
it.
Is Glass Houses is in bookshops now. Melanie Murphy's second novel, and well worth a read. Melanie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cormac is up next with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.